You got it.
I'm here. Okay. You guys ready to go? I want to make sure you guys are awake. Can we make some noise for a second? Do something. Give me a clap. Woo! All right. I was getting quiet there. I was getting nervous behind me. I wanted to make sure the church was still here. You guys are good. Amen. So I just want to share something before I get my sermon this morning. I'm getting ready to come to church, and you know, and I'm all dressed and I'm ready to go. And my son, Luca, he's just walking around. He's like, Daddy, I want to look just like you, Daddy. Daddy, I want to be like you. I want to dress like you, Daddy. I want to comb my hair like you, Daddy. So this is what he's saying as he's, you know, I'm getting ready for church and he's upstairs. So I got a little picture of what it turned out. If we can show that picture. There it is. That was his best effort there to look just like Daddy. But I was in worship in the first service, and I'm just thinking about this, and I was just so taken back by the love that I have for my son in that moment. To know that my child wants to be just like his daddy, there's nothing like that. To know that he wants to do everything that I want to do, just it blew me away, and I was so in love with him in that moment, and just really blessed. And I was just thinking, if I can love my son like that, how much more does God love us? You know, how much more does God, I can express my love in a hug. I can give my son a kiss. I can tell him that I love him and all of these things. God sent his only son to die on a cross so that he can show you that he loves you. That's how much God loves you. And I'm thinking about that. I'm like, man, God, you love us that much. Well, I want to have a heart like my son, Luca. When it comes to wanting to have a relationship, you, I want that kind of heart, God. I want to be just like you. I want to act like you. I want to be like you. I want to pray to you, God. I want to fall deeper in love with you. And I just want to encourage you this morning that if you transition your life in that manner to want to know God more, to want to fall more in love with God, you're going to see amazing things happen in your life as he just pours his love into you. Amen? Amen. Well, I'm excited to preach in the sermon series, Revealed. Pastor Ryan asked me to preach on Mercy, Revealed. And I was just really excited about it, but I had no idea as I was going to begin to dig into this message, begin to read the Word of God and pray, just how blown away I was going to be by the mercy of God in my life. Just how taken back I was by how much mercy he showed me as I was preparing for this message. It was so refreshing. It was so amazing just to get to feel that. Man, God loves me. He's done nothing but shown mercy to me in my life. And it was really just amazing to feel that. And my prayer this morning as we go through this message, that you guys would have the same experience, that you would experience God's mercy like you've never experienced it before, that you would experience the love of God and that you'd be refreshed and you'd be blown away by how amazing of a God he is. Amen. We're going to start by just telling a story from the book of Mark. Jesus and the disciples, they were heading to Jerusalem, and in the way to Jerusalem, they stopped through Jericho. And as they're leaving Jericho, there was a man in the street named Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus was a blind beggar. And he spent his entire life focused on survival. He spent his entire life sitting in the dirt of the road. It's not like today where there's paved roads and there's sidewalks and bus stops and all of these things. No. He sat in the dirt of this road every single day for something to eat, for a little bit of money, for anything, begging the people to give him something. And because he did it every day, he had a good idea of what it was like. He couldn't see, but he could still hear. And he knew what the crowd sounded like, the everyday crowd going by, leaving Jericho. He knew the sound of the people. He knew all of these things. But on this particular day, something was different. There was a much bigger crowd as Jesus and the disciples and the crowd that followed him was leaving Jericho to head to Jerusalem. Bartimaeus knew that there was something different. He could tell the buzz was different. There were so many more people. And you can imagine he's in like just the darkness because he's blind and he just feels all these people around him and everything is louder and it's amped up. And he hears through all that the reason this is because Jesus is walking by. And he finds out that it's Jesus that's going past him. And he gets excited and he gets overwhelmed. And he's like, Jesus is here? You mean Jesus, the Messiah, is walking by? And he gathers himself and he shouts out as loud as he can, Jesus, have mercy on me. And nobody hears him. Jesus doesn't hear him except the crowd. They hear him. And their response was, shut up. Sit down, Bartimaeus. No one wants to hear what you have to say. He doesn't care what you need. Stop shouting out. But people talked down to Bartimaeus every single day. They kicked at him. They spit at him. Because he was always begging and pulling on their arms to give him something. So they always looked down on him. So he was used to that. But he knew that this was his moment, that Jesus was there. So he shouts that again, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This time Jesus, he hears Bartimaeus. So Bartimaeus knows, like, you know, the crowd got a little quieter. And it's dark, he's blind. And he, you know, and Jesus tells one of his disciples, go to bring him to me. So they grab Bartimaeus and they bring him in front of Jesus. And he looks and he asks Bartimaeus, what can I do for you? What an amazing question. What can I do for you, Bartimaeus? And he says, Lord, I want to see again. I want to see. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. And Bartimaeus went on with Jesus in the crowd. Your faith has healed you. See, the crowd, they told him to sit down. The response of the people was to stop talking, to be quiet. He's got nothing for you. But the response of Jesus, the response of a Messiah, of the Son of God, was, come here, son. When he got right face to face with him, he said, your faith has healed you. That's the response of Jesus. Your faith has healed you. There's a lot that went into this story. To get Bartimaeus from being a beggar in the street, to get him from that point of sitting in the dirt to standing face to face with Jesus. There's so many things that took place that brings us to the point of us seeing mercy revealed as Jesus showed mercy on Bartimaeus when he healed him, and for Bartimaeus to shout out to have mercy. And we're going to go through those things this morning. So if you're taking notes this morning, the first part of this story is he recognizes Jesus. I mean, he's blind, so he doesn't recognize him by sight, but he understands who Jesus is. He's heard about Jesus. He's heard about the healings. He's heard about the miracles, so he understands who Jesus is. There's nothing in this story that talks about somebody coming and explaining to Bartimaeus who was there. No one was like Bartimaeus. There's this man, Jesus, and he's walking through the streets, and he's amazing, and he's performing miracles, and there's this crazy buzz about him, and they're saying that he's the Son of God and that he's the Messiah, and you got to be a part of this. All he heard was the name Jesus. And he couldn't contain himself just by the name Jesus because he understood who he was. He knew who Jesus was. I remember when I first gave my heart to Jesus and I began this relationship 20 years ago with God, I was going to church on Sunday, but there was something missing. I was like, all right, you know what? I got this. I give my heart to the Lord. I'm coming to church every Sunday, Sunday after Sunday, but there was something missing. I started to realize that I didn't really have a relationship with God. I didn't really know who he was in my life and the things that he can do for me as a child of God, as a believer now. So I made a decision that, you know what, I want to get to know God. I want to know who he is. I want to start this relationship. So I began to read my Bible every single day. I began to pray constantly. I got involved in several life groups in my church. I started going to church constantly. I started to serve. I wanted to know God. And the closer I got to him, the more that I gave my life to him, the more he revealed to me, and the more I realized the mercy that he has had for me. That I'm even there breathing. I'm even standing here today. It's because God revealed mercy to me in my life. And I began to realize that as I grew closer to God, I knew who God was. In my relationship, I started to understand who he was. You know, in the Word of God, it says, his sheep will hear his voice. And I began to hear the voice of God in my time of prayer. And that's what happens when you have that relationship with him. And for Bartimaeus, he knew who God was. That's why he was so excited to talk to Jesus. Know who Jesus is. In Philippians 3:10, it says this. I didn't put it up there, but that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, that I may be fully acquainted with his nature, his character, his work, and with the salvation which he has worked out, in the power of his resurrection, know who he is. Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was. He understood that. That's what brought him to the point to be able to ask God for mercy, to be able to ask God for healing. And that's the second part of this process that Bartimaeus went to get face-to-face with Jesus, is he asked for mercy. Bartimaeus asked him for mercy. He humbled himself. He knew that he's made mistakes. He knew that he was a sinner. He knew that he had issues and all these problems, but he humbles himself in this moment, understanding his relationship with God, and he cries out, Jesus, have mercy on me. And Jesus' response was, what do you want me to do for you? What an amazing question for a man who's been spending his entire life begging in the streets. What do you want me to do for you? I'm sure there were so many things in Bartimaeus' mind. Well, Jesus, can you give me some food? I need some food. I've been begging every day. I have nothing to eat. Maybe a new robe. Because as he's been sitting in the dirt and in these roads and there's been rats running around him, the people have been kicking at him and spitting at him, I'm sure he's dirty. I'm sure his robe is torn. I'm sure he could use a new robe. Or maybe sandals or money or any of those things. If he asked Jesus for any of those things, it would have been a blessing. But because he understood that he was face to face with the Messiah, he reaches down to his deepest need. And he says, Jesus, I want to see you again. He reaches to his deepest need and asks Jesus for a healing, not for any of those other things. I want to tell you, church, this morning that it's okay to ask God for mercy. It's okay to expect God and to ask for God to do big things in your life. Don't put limitations on God. The Bible says in Matthew that if you have the faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. The faith of a mustard seed. You guys know how big a mustard seed is? Like, I probably can't even hold it like that. It's a little tiny seed. That little faith, you can move a mountain. Sometimes we approach God, like, with that attitude, God, you know, I know you've been busy. There's a lot of people praying, and if you maybe have the time, can you heal me, or you know, can you just help my family member, or can you? We're real hesitant in our approach to God. But what, like Bartimaeus, and I want to encourage you this morning, is your approach to God, be bold. Be bold with God. Come out and say, God, I need you, Lord. Have mercy on me, God. God, I've had this thing that's tortured me for years. It's addiction that I can't escape, God. Please, would you have mercy on me? Will you heal me? Will you forgive me? Will you reveal more of your love to me? That's how we encounter Jesus. That's how we come to God. Not all hesitant. Like, God, if you have time, he's got time. He's got time to do a miracle in your life. But if you don't ask him, you're never going to know if he's willing to do it. Bartimaeus asked God for mercy. He was so bold as to ask the Messiah for a healing. It's okay to ask God for mercy and to do big things in your life. Amen? The third part of this is after Bartimaeus does all this, Jesus reveals mercy to Bartimaeus. So we see that in the healing. The healing when he said, your faith has healed you. When he began to see and his blind eyes were opened. Jesus reveals mercy. And there's another story I want to read to you. From the Bible, I didn't put it up there, so I didn't want you guys reading along. I just want you to listen to this story. It's an amazing story, again, of Jesus revealing mercy to somebody in their life. John 8, 1 through 11. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. I'm going to pause there. Jesus is here. He's teaching all these people. And then there's this commotion. These people grab this woman, drug her through the crowd, stood her in front of Jesus. Can you imagine how embarrassed she may have been? How broken she may have been? Tears, crying that she was caught in the act of adultery, and they brought her to Jesus to have her murdered because the law says that in that day, someone that committed adultery should be stoned to death. So now they drag her standing before Jesus, all ready to stone this woman. I can imagine how broken she is, thinking about her mistakes as she thinks that this is it for me. This is my final moment. Today, I'm going to die. I'm going to be stoned to death because I was so caught up in this life and I was sinning. Let's look at the rest of the story. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, listen to this. Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away. They all realized that they had sin in their life, just like this woman. They began to walk away, the older first, one at a time, until it's just Jesus and this woman face to face. And he says, woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you? No one, sir, she said. Then neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. Jesus, again, reveals mercy to this woman. A woman scared to death. Shaken. She thinks this is it for her. And the Messiah looks at her and he sets her free. And he says, go and sin no more. He didn't have to do that. The law said that she deserved to die according to the law. Jesus could have grabbed a stone just like all the other people in the crowd. And they could have stood there and they could have stoned this woman to death. Jesus could have joined in because that's what the crowd would have done. But he's different. He's Jesus of Nazareth. He's the Messiah. And he says, woman, go and sin no more. He reveals his mercy to her. He loves on her. He blesses her. I don't know this morning what sin you may be dealing with in your life. I don't know your struggles. I don't know your addictions or what your battles are. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I don't know if you made a mistake last night or you're going to today. All that I know is that God is standing before you and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? He's saying, what do you want me to do for you this morning? He doesn't want you to live in that life condemning yourself because you made a mistake when the world will tell you that you're not good anymore, that you don't have what it takes because you messed up. So have I. I've messed up, but God has shown mercy on me, and that's what gives me the ability to stand here this morning to talk to you guys. God wants to reveal his mercy to you and love you because you're his children, you're his sons and his daughters, and he has an amazing plan for your life. Don't beat yourself up. God wants to reveal mercy to you. Amen. Mike, can you come up behind me? I'm sure we could all come up with something when God asks that question. God, what can I do for you this morning? That's the heart of God. He wants to know what he can do for you. How can I bless you? Not how can I condemn you. Not how can I stone you. How can I make you feel like you're the worst person? No. You look in the mirror and you may see a broken, hurting person that has no hope. But Jesus looks at you and he sees an amazing person that was created in his image. Jesus looks at you and says, you have a plan. You have something amazing. God has something amazing for you. He sees an amazing person. You know, he calls you his masterpiece. His masterpiece. All the things that he created in this earth and in this world and in this universe. The planets, the stars, the wonders of the world that we get to see and we're taken back. We're so amazed by. But God calls you his masterpiece. He took more time in forming you, his children, than he did in anything else in this entire universe. That's the kind of God we're talking about this morning. That's the kind of mercy we're talking about this morning. He wants to show mercy to you. So hopefully we're understanding this like Bartimaeus. We understand who God is. We know who he is in our lives. He's extended so much mercy to us. And now we can stand in that position of freedom that God has showed us mercy. But now we have a responsibility, church. And the last part is that we reveal God's mercy to other people. That we take his mercy and we show people mercy. I know I want to show people mercy. I know that we all have people in our lives that maybe have hurt us or maybe have done things to us, and we decided that I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. How dare they say that to me? How dare they act that way to me? But do you realize that you may be the only person in their life that can show them God, that can lead them in the direction of salvation so that their lives can be transformed? It's you. So I encourage you this morning to let mercy be revealed through you to those people. And instead of condemning them, that you come alongside them with your arm around them. And you tell them you love them. I know you made a mistake. So have I. I know you've messed up. It's okay. Listen, we love you. I'm going to pray that God's going to reveal his mercy to you. I'm going to intercede for you when I pray to God that he would show mercy to you. Let's have mercy for other people. I get an amazing opportunity. As you guys know, I'm in a motorcycle club, and I'm the chaplain of that club, and a bunch of them are here this morning from some other clubs in our club. I have an amazing opportunity. There are people that I now get to stand side by side with, arm in arm with, that the world has written off, that have been profiled, and people have said that they're not worth it. They've messed up too much. These are the one percenter and the people that we call the outlaw bikers. And I get to hang out with them and show them the love of Jesus, because they need to experience the love of God. All they've ever had in their life was people telling them they're no good, that they don't have what it takes. So of course that you may act out in a certain way if people always tell you that you're not worth it, that look at all the mistakes you made. What makes you think that you can do anything in this life? But we come alongside them and we say, you have amazing things going for you in this life. And I don't know what happened to you in the past, but I can tell you that God can wipe that clean. I'll tell you that God can heal you. I'll tell you that there's a miracle for you, that God wants to set you free, and that if you just run after him, your life will forever be changed. That's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear that you're no good. They need to hear that somebody loves them. I know they seem all tough. Sometimes, you know, I act that way sometimes. I put my guard up and I want to act tough and, you know, like, oh, dude, I don't need any of this. But I need the love of God. I need it so much. I wouldn't be standing here today if it wasn't for the mercy of God and the love of God, and if it wasn't for people revealing God's mercy to me in my life. So I encourage you this morning to do that, church. God bless.